everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is part two of a two-part episode, my interview with Taylor Kaiser. If you have not listened to part one, please go back and listen to part one so part two makes sense. After that, sit back and enjoy. Again, this is part two of the two-part episode with Taylor Kaiser.
What were some of the first steps that you took to straighten yourself out? Was it starting to, because I talk about this stuff with my therapist too. I strongly recommend therapy for anybody that can do it, whether your insurance covers it or not. But what were the steps that you started to take to like get out of this bad psycho mindset with food?
Sure. So definitely I went to therapy because like you, I'm a big proponent of therapy. I think it's super helpful. So that was something that I definitely started. But in terms of like food and exercise, so I read this book. It's called No Period, Now What? And I think all women should read it, even if you haven't lost your period, because it really outlines and it really explains like how much food a woman really needs, especially if you're active. And I was definitely not eating anywhere near what an active woman should be eating. So I started eating a lot more food, and I actually quit the gym for 9 months because I just knew that, well, I love to exercise. It makes me feel great. I do truly love it. I was exercising in a way that can no longer be called exercise because I wasn't doing it to promote health. It was very fear-based. It was very, you know, I don't want to gain weight, or I'm doing it for penance. Like, you know, I ate something and now I need to work out because I ate this food. Like, it was no longer like an enjoyable way to move my body and be healthy. So I knew that I wasn't going to be able to fully heal mentally, even and physically, because it was still taking a toll on my body if I did not give up the gym. So my steps were therapy, eating a crap ton more food, and quitting the gym. No Period, Now What by Nicola Rinaldi. It's really a life-changing book.
Okay, I'm going to get the link for that. You know, it's funny because you brought up, and I realized that I wrote this down earlier. This is what you said in your last answer. You said, you know, your line of perfection is always going to move further. And yep. I had a trainer actually say that to me. And I think what can help so many of this is what helped me start to get out of the perfectionistic mindset, because, you know, you mentioned, you know, some people listening will go, not going to the gym, like cutting back on my working out. They freak out, you know,
I
actually worked with a dietitian who had me, you know, massively scale back my working out. I don't think necessarily at the time it was the right approach. And I didn't push back like I should have, but on the other hand, there is a time when less is more. And what helped me was finally, I finally had like this talk with myself, and I said, okay, here's the thing: to get what you've never done, you have to do what to get what you've never had, you have to do what you've never done. It's the oldest adage in the book. And I finally realized that the number one thing that I have done consistently, which is not good, over the past 10 years is I start strong. I start some program. I start strong, and then I get distracted and I go down another path 3 weeks later. And then I start something else. And then I start something else. And I kept changing. And I was always starting and stopping. And there was always binging in between. And so I told myself, here's what I do. I never give anything long enough. I never stick with anything. And I'm always, so it's not only did I never give anything a consistently long enough time period to work, you know, I go, oh, I tried paleo. It didn't work. And they go, you know, somebody would say, well, how long were you paleo? And if I was, when I was finally real with myself, I'm like, I think I only did that for like 30 days. You know, like I didn't do anything long enough for it to stick. And so it was the combination of realizing I don't do anything long enough to give it a chance to work. And number two, because I have such overwhelmingly high expectations of my body changing and losing a massive amount, it was all in the name of how fast can I lose 20 pounds in 30 days? Honestly. Sure. And that sounds so unreasonable as I say it out loud. But the truth is, for the past 10, 15 years, my life has been around how fast can I lose 20 pounds? And I have extreme dieted and overtrained and undereaten and not realized all the damage I'm doing to my body. And never once did I go, let me take the polar opposite approach. And finally, that's what did it for me is I said, you know what? I'm going to say, and it was actually that trainer who encouraged me to do this. He goes, tell yourself you're taking a year to get healthy, a year. Yep. And you have to go out. And I think it was my dietitian that said this. She goes, Kelly, freaking buy yourself a bigger pair of jeans.
Yes.
Like, stop thinking I don't fit in my size 8 jeans. If you need to buy a pair of size 10 or 12 jeans that you look fly as hell in, do it. And who cares? No one cares that you're going to wear a size 10 or 12. Exactly. Wear jeans that fit and go out on a date and enjoy your time with your man instead of going, I can't fit in my size 8 jeans, so I'm going to stay inside and cry. Yeah. And was that something too that you had to do, was change your, like your time expectation and say, I'm going to give it, you know, this is like a long-term life goal versus a diet challenge?
100%. So I also went through the same like clothes fear. And now what I always like tell myself and tell other people is like, clothes are made to fit your body, not your body made to fit clothes.
Ooh.
So that's like something that I just kind of tell myself like over and over. Cause I still like, I'm in warm and some days I'm still like, oh, why did they do this? You know? And then I repeat myself that, oh, wait, repeat that. I can't talk. Repeat that to myself over and over, over and over again. So when I quit the gym and started eating more, like I knew that the eating more thing was going to be for life. And I was like, maybe I'll quit the gym for like 2 months, like, you know, like I'll just give myself like 2 months and then I'll be back at it. And I thought I'd get my period back in like 2 months and I'd have like amazing blood work and like whatever. Like I thought 2 months is going to be like, you know, it would reverse 10 years of damage, which it did not. You know, I did not get my period for probably a good, I think it was 6 or 7 months. And even then my blood work was still pretty bad and I couldn't go back to the gym because I knew that I didn't want to go back to the gym when I was still very unhealthy. So it really took, like, I honestly went back to the gym last week and so it's been like a year. So I really had to start shifting that time frame to like you said, this is a lifelong thing and you can't reverse 10 years of damage in like this given arbitrary time that my brain has put on it. And the more that I really switched that mindset, honestly, the more it became easier to just, I really just started to live my life and I got used to not going to the gym and I was like, well, maybe I'll never go back. I don't know. Like maybe I didn't like it as much. And you just have to start like just living without this whole like time frame thing and know that if it's the right time for you to go back to the gym or to change or whatever your like whatever your thing is, it will happen. But no expectations makes it a whole lot easier to deal with.
It really does. It took me I just keep thinking like it's coming up on 2 years anniversary with my man. And you know, when he met me is earlier that year. I was experiencing really great success with intermittent. That's when I was working with the trainer. I was doing faster rate of fat loss and I experienced some really great success. But then it all backfired because of me, massive amounts of stress in my business life. And I was taking it to the extreme. I was training extra sessions that Blaine hadn't told me to. I was adding in 24-hour fasts 2 days a week because I would eat donuts because that's what that program was encouraging. Like, hey, do leg day and have donuts. And so I would have donuts after every hard workout with Blaine and then I would feel bad. So I would fast for a day to make up for having donuts. And it just became a really bad cycle. And my body started to revolt. And then I was gaining weight and, you know, I was getting headaches and ended up with just like adrenal burnout. And
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it was just a bad, bad place. But all of this was the backdrop for when I met the love of my life. And I remember like feeling so frustrated because I'm like, I didn't think I was worthy of meeting anybody until I was the perfect body.
Right.
And I didn't want to meet anybody until I was the perfect body. And the truth is, like you said, I can think back to times in my life where I've really made a lot of progress, but it was never good enough for me. I was always like, well, I'm good, but I'm not here. I'm good, but I'm not. And so it finally took for me going, listening to that dietitian and saying, okay, I have long-term goals, but I'm going to go out on a date with my man. And if that means that for a while I wear a blazer because I'm thicker in my core, but I'm going to get a fabulous blazer and get some jewelry and wear some jeans with boots. Like it took a while. Like I was uncomfortable. But it was doing that, choosing to live and say, okay, I'm going to accept myself as I am and stop. I forced myself to stop looking at myself in the mirror every day. I used to take selfies to measure my fat loss every day.
Oh,
and I'm like, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going to look at my mirror in the mirror every time I put my workout clothes on to see how much fat bulge I have above my bra. I'm going to just do the work, keep my head down, and not look for the bad. I'm going to focus on how I feel and focus on the long term. And slowly but surely, so for everybody listening, like, I don't want to kid you. In my world, this wasn't something where I made a decision to change my disordered eating mindset and it happened overnight. It was a process. Was it like that for you, Taylor?
Mine was honestly a pretty overnight thing. Like,
was it?
Yeah, it was like that date night. And the next day, I was like, I'm done. And I just started eating. And then I'm like, the gym thing took me like a month, but the eating thing was like an overnight thing. I was just like, I'm done. And I just.
Now, did you, cause you know, everybody listening is going to ask this. Did you gain a bunch of weight?
Yes. I mean, like I didn't gain massive, but I definitely gained a good chunk and it was definitely needed. I was very underweight. Yeah. My body, I mean, I didn't have a period, which is a huge sign of not, you know, not being a heavy enough weight. So I definitely gained a lot of weight and I gained it quick because I went from eating a small amount of calories to ate a lot of calories pretty quickly. But I wouldn't change it. Like people are like, maybe why didn't you reverse diet and all these things? I'm like, because that's still a diet and that's still controlling and that's still you know, a calorie counting thing. And I really wanted true freedom. No matter what that looked like for my body, I really just wanted to trust that my body would do what it needed to do to be happy and healthy. And that was my priority.
And I'm guessing that your man was totally supportive.
Actually, he was for the most part, but like, I think that one of the most interesting parts of my recovery was we realized I had put some of my own disordered thoughts on food and what like a woman's body should look like on him. Because he had never had food issues, but when I started to recover and he saw me like eating all these things I never used to, not going to the gym, he's like, that's bad. Why are you doing that? Like,
interesting.
So he had somehow adopted these things, you know, what a woman's body should look like. And then mine changed and it was a little bit challenging because he just didn't really feel like he knew who I was. Cause like I said, he didn't know me before. So he had nothing to compare it to.
Yeah.
So it took his brain a little while to catch up. Now he loves it. Now he loves my womanly body and he loves that we can go out on spontaneous date nights and I don't cry and we can drink wine. And like now he loves it. But it was like this weird limbo process for both of us, just figuring out like this new like relationship. Cause I'm like a different person, honestly. So it was strange, but he's great.
And I'm going to see if I can link this up because it was my friend Alex Mazurko and she had linked to a video of this one gal who she's, I guess, going through an ongoing process of, in her own way. I really don't know what to call it, but essentially she was, really restrictive dieting, was a figure or bikini competitor for years and realized that she was just having stomach pains and, you know, constipation and all of these health problems. And she's like, I am going to just eat. It was something, I think what was really the driver is she said, I'm literally hungry, like starving all the time. And so she decided to intentionally eat until she was full. Not like
any Buttermore. Is that what we're talking about?
Maybe it is. I think because there was this interview they did and it was, I swear it was like, it struck me like lightning. It was her and her man sitting on the couch and she was like, I'm not intermittent fasting anymore. And you know what's not. And so she said, you know what's nice is eating breakfast. And I don't want to bash intermittent fasting, but I mean, I first started doing that in like 2009. I did it and it worked for me really just because it was a calorie cutting measure. I mean, people sometimes, they think that it's like some magical thing. It's just a way to cut calories. People like get over it.
Agreed.
And, but it can also, I think it can be good for some people. It can also push you into perfectionist mindset because you think, oh, I haven't had my fasting window long enough, and people freak out. But to watch that video when the guy said, you know what, you're nicer to be around when you're eating. And she was crying and you know, cause she gained 10 or 20 pounds. And he's like, I actually think you look better. And it is a journey. So it's going to be different for each one of us. For me, I mean, I have the love of my life, the dream man who has made me feel even, you know, so I've lost a certain amount of weight so far and I'm on my next phase to hit the next level, whenever that is, if it's 6 months from now, 9 months from now, 2 months from now, whatever. But it took me a while and I started accepting my body, but I got to tell you, he has made me feel, and I know he's not acting, like he's made me feel like I am a centerfold every single day.
Oh, I love that.
That he and I had to learn, my therapist said, she goes, you need to start looking at yourself through his eyes. And he would say that to me because he's like, I don't like the way you talk about yourself. If you could see yourself the way I do and give yourself a break and just, you know, see how beautiful you are in this dress and well, and it took me going, okay, if he sees me this way, I'm going to be kinder to myself. And now it's like, I've come so far and he's like, wow, you look amazing. And I said, yeah, but I want to, you know, it's that perfectionistic line. I'm moving it out further. And he's like, okay, if you want to get better because you feel you want to get there, I support you, but I think you look amazing right where you are. And I've had to learn to like live. And when you, I can tell everybody who's listening, and I know Taylor that you will like concur, as somebody who has lived psychotically and avoided eating everything and not gone to a restaurant and been paranoid about having a drink, been paranoid about eating a piece of bread, been paranoid about having dessert, were, you know, eating in secret and throwing stuff away, to now where I'm just chilling out and being comfortable and focusing more on nutrition and fueling my body and providing it with nutrition versus like, how little can I eat? What crappy, shitty food can I eat that's going to be the least amount of calories so I can starve myself? It's a whole different world. Like, was that something that, did you also, I know that you said, yes, you experienced some weight gain. Did you feel better because you were eating real food suddenly?
Yes. Cause I feel like before, like you, like I was very like in secret eating, like what I call diet foods, like sugar-free everything, like all these things. Cause I was like wanted to be low calorie, but I couldn't want to tell anyone because I'm this health food blogger and I'm eating all these like diet foods. So people always say like, isn't like food freedom, which is what I call just eating what you want, like just an excuse to just eat crap. And I'm like, not really. Like I actually eat a lot healthier now that I have food freedom because my body craves those things. And I, like you said, I focus on nutrition and I focus on how my body feels, not like what is the least amount that I can do be or that I can weigh and that I can eat to feel the most satisfied. And now it's more, it's less about what I can take away from my diet now and more about like, what can I add? Like what nutrition can I add? What can I add that makes me feel great? So I feel, I mean, I'm sleeping better too. I have my period, all those things help, but just nutritionally speaking, I feel so much better.
It was, you know, it was a major, and this happened to me even just, I'm going to say in the past 6 to 8 weeks, because I went through a period after moving to San Antonio where it was like 2 months straight out of the blue. I hadn't changed anything in my diet and I was experiencing bloating and just feeling like bloated and gassy. And I also, for the first time, was not regular. Like, and it wasn't that I experienced constipation or anything, but just never kind of feeling like I was, I'd always been a regular person who got up every morning and I would go to the bathroom 2 times in the morning and, and I was regular and it was just never a problem. And suddenly I had this 2 months of bloating and headaches and gassy feeling. And I would go to the bathroom, but I just kind of felt like, and hey, this is TMI, but it's really, we all have to get comfortable talking about elimination. It's a big indicator of our health. And I just never felt like I was getting it all out. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
And something, it was just, my body was off and I could not, I remember saying to Steve, I'm like, everything I eat, I'm getting a stomach ache after. I don't know what's going on. So I was starting to research and I was like, okay, I have to cut out, because I still had some protein powders and maybe some protein bars that had dairy in them and sucralose. So I really was on the mission to find cleaner food. And long story short is I ended up hearing about Isagenix, and I talked to a couple people that repped the company or whatever. And I'm like, do you guys have a plant-based protein? Because I was in Vitamin Shop, couldn't find anything that was plant-based that I hadn't tried already. I used to love Vega, but they changed their formulation. I'm getting to a point here about nutrition. But I ended up trying some of these Isagenix shakes, and I was talking with Bonnie Feaster. I think you might know her. She's a Fitfluential Tribe person. Okay. And she was like guiding me about these. I ordered these plant-based, sucralose-free meal replacement shakes. So they weren't a protein shake. And she said something, she was talking about, you know, hey, these are meal replacement shakes. Cause of course the first thing I did was I freaked out. They had 20 grams of carbs. She's like, Kelly, it's a meal replacement shake. It's supposed to be filling. It's not supposed to, like, if you went out and used a protein powder, that's 120 calories, zero carbs, 1.5 grams of fat, that's not enough to fill you up. And I never thought about it. And I remember she said, she goes, Kelly, Steve and I are trainers. She goes, I can easily tell you a 250 calorie meal, but is it going to give you the nutrients and the nutrition that your body needs? And I remember it was the first time in my adult 10 year fitness life that I ever thought about, am I giving my body enough nutrition ever? I never. And I remember I went on Instagram and I'm like, how many of you have been looking at what you're eating in a day and said, have I been giving myself adequate nutrition versus, oh, am I eating a little enough calories? It's a total mind shift.
Totally. It's still one that I had to keep track of myself. Like, I mean, I don't track calories or anything, but I still have to constantly ask myself, am I giving my body enough to support like the new health that it has? So yeah. It's totally a different mindset shift for sure.
When I look at what we're going to eat, you know, cause the other thing, I mean, Steve and I were like, we were thinking we were eating healthy, and we started going, how, cause I was looking for a greens company. I used to take Athletic Greens. And then when I tried Isagenix, I got their greens, and I'm like, oh, you know, we need to eat more vegetables. And we started thinking about like the amount of vegetables we were not eating. And I'm like, God, we really like these foods. Why are we not eating them? And I don't think until you start to think consciously about nutrition versus dieting that, you know, back to what you said, start adding to your diet, start adding to what you're consuming versus taking away. It's really game changing. When I've started focusing on adding nutrition, adding greens, adding supplement, adding more water, the bad stuff will kind of creep its way out, and you'll just feel better. And when you feel better, you function better. There's a lot of truth that people haven't been talking about. That fitness has for so many years been all about cutting it out, you know, punishing yourself, doing more workouts, and coming from like a punishing mindset versus let's nourish our body. Let's get enough sleep. Let's eat real food. Let's enjoy life. And that's a mind shift that hopefully everybody that's listening, that's going to appeal to. Would you say that that's kind of where is that how you feel like that's where you're at in life, that you eat good food, you have a healthy body, you're enjoying life and you're living now versus how would you describe the way you used to be?
Yeah. So people always ask me like, how did you know when you were recovered? And like, I always say like, you'll know when you know, because you're just living your life. And that's exactly how I feel. Like I even, like I told you, like I got to a place where I was like, if I go back to the gym and I hate it, I won't die. I mean, I went back and I still loved it, but I was just living. And for the most part, I eat really whole healthy foods, but I still love my wine and I still love going for donuts and, you know, pancakes for breakfast with my husband. So I balance that all, because now I just eat one. If I eat one of those things and I crave it, I move on. Like I don't beat myself up about it forever and ever and ever and feel like I have to work it off or eat less later on. Like I can just nourish my body and choose things that are maybe less nourishing for my body, but nourishing for my soul. So I feel like it's really like a body, mind, and soul health now, as opposed to just like trying to be healthy for the sake of being healthy, if that makes sense. Oh,
that's good. That's bumper sticker good. I'm going to put that down here. Body, mind, and soul. Yeah. Because And that goes back to the stress thing. You know, if you, if everything is about obsessing and stressing, and instead of going, okay, I also started to look at it as like, how would we treat like a guest, like Taylor, if you were a guest in my home, would I treat you the way that I've treated myself? Would I talk to you about your body? And we would all go, oh my God, I'd never say that to anybody, but we're okay saying it to ourselves. And yet we think that that's going to work. If we saw a father berating his daughter, his, you know, daughter who's in eighth grade on the soccer field about her body and about her performance on the soccer field, we'd be mortified, but we'll do that to ourselves. And we think that that's going to work. And
yeah, we'll hating our body into change will work, but it doesn't.
Exactly. We've got to know that, you know, you get more flies with honey, and that is just as true with ourselves.
100%.
This has been so good, Taylor. I'm really glad that I had you on, because I want everybody listening. I really encourage you not only to go to Taylor's blog and follow her online because the amazing food content, because you'll be obsessed. Do you have a cookbook deal yet, by the way? Because clearly you should.
I don't have a cookbook deal, but I do have a book deal, and that'll be next year.
Oh, nice. Okay. So we will be on the lookout for that. Of course, we'll have to have you back. And I will follow up with you to have you back on the show from the business perspective. But for now, tell everybody where they can find you online, both on Instagram and your blog as well.
Sure. So my blog is www.foodfaithfitness.com. And then on Instagram, I'm foodfaithfit.
Perfect. And we will, of course, link up to all of this in the show notes. And the show notes can be found at thekellyoshow.com. Taylor, thank you so much for being on the show. Also, you were going to tell me, I put this in my notes. Tell people about your food freedom boot camps that you've got going on. And of course, you can find this out on our website when you go there, but I wanted to call attention to it.
Yeah, so they're 4-week online virtual boot camps for women, where we really work through like all these issues like restriction, binging, seeing all foods as equal, all those kinds of things, really working on body image and respect, where I kind of teach them live. There's Q&A, there's homework, and there's like a Facebook support group, because like you said, these issues can feel so isolating and so like you're alone, which you really are not. So just having like a Facebook group support other women going through the same thing just really helps. And then I'm in there guiding them and helping them along. So currently running those right now. We're in the middle of one, and I'm hoping to maybe do another one this year, but it might be 2020. So yeah, currently working on those.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I highly, highly recommend everything that she has to offer. Obviously she has a wealth of experience. And again, I know once you guys check her out, if you're not following her already, you'll become an obsessive fan like I am. So Taylor, thank you so much for being on the show. For everybody listening, thank you for tuning in. We of course encourage you, if you have questions for Taylor, connect with her directly online. Again, we'll link up to everything in the show notes at thekellyoshow.com. If you have questions for me about this episode or future episodes, if you'd like to nominate somebody that I interview for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about sponsoring a future episode, you can email my assistant, Angie, at kellyalexa.com. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We will see you next time on The Kelly O Show.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. This marks the end of this two-part interview with Taylor Kaiser. I hope you enjoyed it. We encourage you to connect with her online. If you have any questions for me on this episode, or perhaps future episodes, if you'd like to nominate somebody that we interview for a future episode, or if you're interested in inquiring about sponsorship or ad opportunities, feel free to reach out. You can reach out to Angie, my assistant, and it's A-N-G-I-E. Angie@kellyalexa.com. And of course, I would so appreciate it if you love this episode and you like the show, if you would take just a couple minutes, head on over to iTunes. First of all, make sure you're subscribed. And then second of all, leave us a review there. Reviews are the lifeblood of podcasts. I'm sure if you listen to several others, you've heard this request before. But the more that you can review the show and give your honest feedback, the more that we can be seen and heard by more people. And I really want to take this show big and make a positive impact on as many lives as I possibly can. So I sincerely appreciate you taking the time to do that. Thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next time on The Kelly O Show.